Welcome to another edition of the Volunteer State. Tennessee is just days away from its season opener on Thursday night against Bowling Green. Blake Topmeyer alongside John Adams and Adam Sparks. And we have the starting quarterback question out of the way, answered by Tennessee coach Josh Heupel.
At the beginning of training camp, that we thought we'd have a starting quarterback by game week. Joe Milton will be our starting quarterback. Not naming a backup, believe in what those guys are ready to do, given the opportunity. They've continued to grow and compete, all three of them together. Joe's had an opportunity to take a bunch of the reps with
on
the ones
Monday. Named Joe Milton, Tennessee's starting quarterback for this season opener. It's interesting, guys. Alex Golish, the Tennessee's offensive coordinator, said at the beginning of the month that if he had his choice, there just would be no announcement of the starting quarterback, and he'd hope to keep it quiet going into the opener, but he admitted that that's probably not possible when it comes to Tennessee football. There really are very few secrets when it comes to Tennessee. We've been saying on this podcast for a while now that it's likely to be Joe Milton as a starter. Indeed, it's going to be. Thoughts on the news and thoughts on Josh Heupel's decision to go ahead and get it out of the way and just name that quarterback?
Well, what we've been saying a little while, we thought it was Joe Milton, but John, you had the Harrison Bailey banner for a while. Are you selling your Harrison Bailey stock now that we have an official announcement?
It's already gone. It was gone within seconds. It was an easy transition for me.
Well, I don't want to bury the lead on Joe Milton. I know we'll talk mostly about him, but I thought it was just as interesting that there was not a number two name that was between Bailey and Hendon Hooker, and I think there's some strategy there of trying to keep both of those guys happy. But as far as Milton goes, yeah, we thought it would be him. I think there's one of two narratives here with Joe Milton. Either this is a guy who has all the attributes to be a Power 5 starting quarterback, and he just hasn't found the right combination, and he needs a fresh start, and this is exactly what he needs, and Josh Heupel's the coach he needs, and so he succeeds. Or narrative number two is that this is a guy that has potential and promise, but not production. And we see this at every level of football, usually with quarterbacks. It's that guy that's big and got a big arm, and you think, I'm the coach that can get the most out of that guy, and coach after coach failed to do that. And so it's going to be one of those two narratives, and we'll know it within the next few weeks.
Looking at the way this thing evolved, I guess I should have paid more attention to the early warning signs. I mean, they went through spring practice. They were going through spring practice. Joe Milton hadn't announced a transfer destination. And the fact that he would come to Tennessee, it's his first chance to reboot his career. So he wants to go to a place where he's pretty sure he can win the starting job. And I think he must have been convinced by discussions that he could win the starting job here. And looking back, Josh Heupel, even though he didn't announce it at the time, might have known right then who his starting quarterback was. He'd been through spring practice with these other guys and thought, no, I still need an upgrade. So let's welcome Joe Milton to Rocky Top.
Yeah, it's a good point, John. I'm not sure if Josh Heupel knew definitively when he added Milton to the program there after spring practice that this guy would be the starter. I think he thought there was a good chance. But I remember we talked coming out of SEC Media Days on this podcast, John, about how complimentary Heupel was at SEC Media Days in Hoover, Alabama, of Milton. And part of that was because he was asked directly about him. But really, I thought if you started reading the tea leaves at that point, I don't know if he knew in May that Milton would be his starting quarterback. I think he thought that Milton was the favorite. But I think he knew by mid-July that Joe Milton was the guy to beat for this job. And I do think, so much of Josh Heupel and what has fans excited, and so much as fans are excited about the Josh Heupel era, is offense and quarterback development. So regardless of who he picked as a starting quarterback, he's going to be judged, I think, on how well the quarterbacks play this year, and particularly how well his starter, now Joe Milton, plays. And it's interesting that the guy he picked was the guy he brought in. These other guys he inherited, Milton was the one he brought in.
I think you bring up a pretty good word there, development. I think another word I would add to that is trajectory, because if you listen closely to what Josh Heupel said in the press conference, he said that Joe Milton had gone further in a shorter amount of time. I think there's a little hint there that maybe these guys are pretty close, all three quarterbacks, but that Milton had caught up with them just going through preseason practice where the other guys had had spring. To me, that says he doesn't necessarily think that Joe Milton is, you know, head and shoulders above the rest of the guys, but that he thinks that's where he's going to end up. And if you have the belief in yourself as a guy that can develop quarterbacks, you think that I can take this guy that's moving pretty fast and I can continue that trend, where the other two guys, maybe I think he just thinks I put some time into them. I had them in spring. They sort of topped out. This guy hasn't topped out yet.
Do you think the decision would have been any different if Tennessee weren't playing Bowling Green and instead was playing a reasonably competent opposition?
Well, I mean, you know, that question has to be answered of who can run the offense well enough. Because if you're playing an SEC game, you want a guy that's not going to make a lot of mistakes. Joe Milton's reputation is more of sort of a wow type of arm strength, and he can make throws that other guys can't throw. It has not necessarily been decision making, and he's been slow in understanding offense. And maybe that's because he played as a young guy in the Big Ten, and that's difficult for anybody. But yeah, maybe. I thought it was interesting that Josh Heupel pointed out the fact that he has had a pretty good understanding of the offense, and he's learned a whole lot more in a shorter time. It's almost if Heupel was answering the questions that had not been asked. And the questions would be, does Joe Milton know what he's doing in this offense? Heupel got ahead of that already and said that he thinks he has a pretty good understanding of it. So either Joe Milton is better suited for this offense and he's matured in that and his understanding, or Josh Heupel is just hopeful that he can be.
Yeah, I thought you touched on something that was interesting earlier, Adam, in that Josh Heupel, although he announced his starting quarterback, he did not announce his backup quarterback, said that competition remains unsettled between Harrison Bailey and Hennon Hooker. I think that's interesting because I would bet that Josh Heupel knows who he's going to go to as the backup quarterback if needed in this opener. I think he knows that here, this close to kickoff. However, I think it's valuable to prolong the mystery there, because a few months ago, Tennessee could afford for one of its quarterbacks to transfer, and that's what happened. You know, Caden Salter was dismissed from the program and transferred to Liberty, and then Brian Maurer entered the transfer portal. So it went from five scholarship quarterbacks to three scholarship quarterbacks. So now at this point, I don't think you want any more quarterback exits. You want to go through the season with all three of these guys so you feel comfortable about your depth. If someone doesn't play well, you got to change starters. If there's an injury, what have you. And so the longer you can take out this backup competition and having both those guys think that maybe I'm going to be the backup and have a chance if Joe Milton stumbles to be the guy, I think the better. You don't want anybody making any last-minute transfers here. And if you can string this along for a few more weeks, I don't think you would see someone transfer in the middle of the semester. It's sort of hard to do once the semester's, you know, several weeks old to transfer and re-enroll elsewhere. So I think if you can prolong this backup competition for a few weeks, you hang on to all three guys, which I think is important.
John brought up the schedule earlier, and that's, you know, you've got Bowling Green, which probably is a blowout, we would think. Pitt's a close game. Tennessee Tech should be a blowout. And so you already know if you're the backup quarterback, I'm going to play. And if you're number three, you probably think you're number two. And I think that's the selling point right there. I mean, the two quarterbacks are going to play in the first three games. And if you don't know who two is, then you're three and you think you're two, and two also thinks he's two. And so that's a good way to keep those guys.
John, this is Tennessee's best position quarterback room since when? I mean, since Joshua Dobbs and final season in 2016. I mean, we went through some pretty bleak years there at quarterback. Now, I know that saying that this quarterback room is well stocked is a bit of a leap of faith based on what we've seen. We saw a few starts from Harrison Bailey, and then we know that Joe Milton and Hennon Hooker have starting experience, but ultimately lost their starting jobs at their previous schools. So maybe I'm asking for a leap of faith there, but this is as well positioned as Tennessee has been in a while, yes or no? Am I going out on a limb there?
No, you're not going out on a limb. It doesn't really say much. You go back to the 2000. Joshua Dobbs certainly brought a lot to the offense in his two seasons here at Tennessee. Would have been better for the program if he'd have started maybe 2 years earlier. It was a decision Butch Jones probably didn't handle very well. You go back to 2017 when Quentin Dormady was a starter, and then he gave way, he got hurt. He gave way to Jared Garantano, who really started parts of the last four seasons. He was the guy. What's interesting in light of this decision, going with the strong-armed Joe Milton, some people thought last year he had the strongest arm in college football. Go back to 2017, Quentin Dormady and Jared Garantano both had strong arms. I think you would have said about the coaches, in fact, did say it, I think at one time or another, well, these guys can make all the throws. That's a coaching cliche. But there was nothing wrong with Garantano's arm. There was nothing wrong with Dormady's arm. And it's just kind of a reminder that it takes more than that to be successful at quarterback.
Well, let me add on to that, and I'll pitch a feature that I'm working on right now for this week on Joe Milton. Is that I spoke to his, I guess, quarterback trainer, for lack of a better term, up in Michigan, the guy that worked with him on a lot of mechanics and things. And I asked him about Joe Milton's arm strength. And one thing that he pointed out was arm strength was not the issue, obviously. It was anticipation. It was anticipation of the coverages. It was understanding defensive alignments. And it was, I think I'm paraphrasing here, but the quarterback trainer said, you don't have to throw it hard if you know where it's going and you can anticipate where it's going. I think the sort of unsaid thing about Joe Milton is not that he throws it hard too often, is that he throws it hard to compensate because he doesn't know where to throw it early enough. I think that's sort of the story of Milton to this point, not saying that it is now, but if you're recognizing where the ball needs to go too late, you're going to try to compensate with velocity. And I think that's more of the issue, which if that's the issue now, that's a bigger problem. You can coach a guy to throw with more touch through repetition. You can't necessarily coach a guy to recognize coverages that he doesn't recognize.
We haven't seen much quarterback carousel throughout Josh Heupel's coaching tenure. If we go back to when he was an offensive coordinator for two seasons at Missouri, Drew Locke was the guy for two seasons. He wasn't juggling around a few different quarterbacks. It was the Drew Locke show while Josh Heupel was there. And then if we look back on Josh Heupel's tenure in three seasons as UCF's coach, once again, there wasn't a lot of juggling around of quarterbacks from week to week. During Heupel's first season, it was by and large Mackenzie Milton as UCF's quarterback, who then gave way to Dillon Gabriel the past two seasons. Gabriel was QB1 throughout the last couple seasons under Josh Heupel. Now, we know when it comes to Tennessee the last few years, yes, Jared Garantano started a bulk of the games for the past three, even four seasons. You go back to the second half of that year that John was talking about with Quentin Dormady, Garantano finished the year as a starter. But there also was some juggling. You know, week to week, there was the question of whether Garantano would retain the job due to poor production. He did, you know, have a handful of games where he did not start, either due to injury or production. And it was like a week to week question. It seemed like the last two seasons, really, 2019 and 2020, who is going to start this week? Do we see that happening this year, a juggling of quarterbacks, or do we think Joe Milton could be the guy wire to wire?
You know, what you brought up, Drew Locke, Mackenzie Milton, Dillon Gabriel, those are three really, really good quarterbacks Heupel's had. The question is, was he blessed with quarterbacks, or is he just a better judge of quarterbacks? Because his first impression, whoever he chose, is who he stuck with. Now, I mean, I would ask you guys, is there been a better judge of quarterbacks at Tennessee in the past few years? Is Kiffin, you got to go all the way back to Kiffin, or does somebody have the authority to say, I know what a good quarterback looks like before Heupel?
Well, you would have thought some of those offensive coordinators would have. I don't think Jeremy Pruitt had a clue who should be the quarterback, and he juggled the position accordingly. Nor did he have a clue about a quarterback's psyche and how you have to manage a quarterback differently than you do all the other position players. That's one thing about this decision. I think Tennessee fans can trust Josh Heupel more than they have any coach they've had since Lane Kiffin. If he's wrong, they will certainly have his doubts about his entire tenure, because this is what he's supposed to do best. But I do really have more confidence in him doing that. And I don't think we'll see a juggling act. I also think, though, that if Milton doesn't play well, I don't think that Heupel will live and die with him. If he demonstrates the same shortcomings that he did as a starter at Michigan last season, I mean, how long could you go with him without giving somebody else a chance? I don't know which one it would be.
I love, John, that you say that the one coach Tennessee fans could trust in this stretch of misery was the guy who left after one season in the middle of the night. Now, I assume you were talking about maybe trust with quarterbacks there, but there were certain things maybe you couldn't trust Lane Kiffin with.
Maybe I should have specified that. He was really good at quarterback, and Tennessee fans can remember that year how well he handled Jonathan Crompton, whose career was in a tailspin. And Lane Kiffin came in and resurrected the quarterback's career and got him a nice signing contract with the NFL. So, yeah, I think that's that trust in Lane Kiffin usually don't go together that well.
Blake, we were saying earlier, you and I, we were talking about sort of the over-under of games. Is it 8? Is it how many games that Joe Milton starts out of 12 regular season games? Is the over-under about 8? Is that what we would think? Is that plausible?
Well, yeah, let's set it at that, and let's force us to go over or under here by bumping it maybe to 8.5. So that way you either got to take 8 or fewer. Now, you can't pick it right on the nose. Is he going to start under 8.5? So 8 games or fewer starts for Joe Milton. Or is he going to start more than that, 9-plus games? What are you guys saying?
I want to hear John first, because I want to hear how many Harrison Bailey's going to jump in here.
I'm off that bandwagon now, Adam. That's
as of 15 minutes ago.
That's an outdated storyline, so let's all move on from that. I just can't help but look at Tennessee's quarterback history. Joe Milton sustained an injury last season in Michigan, a thumb injury. I think it's hard now for any quarterback on a mediocre to bad team, which I think Tennessee falls into that category, to play the whole season. So I think 8, I think that's a really good over and under. So we're saying 8.5, actually. I can pick 8. I would probably go with under then.
All right, John's taking the – John, I got to say, I'm disappointed in how quickly you've moved on from Harrison Bailey. Now, I know – you know, you are very skilled in this manner. You don't get hung up on a particular opinion, especially if it doesn't pan out. You are always moving forward and have an eye to the future. Nonetheless, I'm a little disappointed that you're not pounding the drum still for Harrison Bailey, because I think there will be a lot of Vols fans who will be, particularly if Joe Milton struggles at all. There will be a camp of Tennessee fans that want to see Harrison Bailey at the first sign of trouble, but maybe you'll pivot back the other direction. You're not necessarily committing now to this new direction, right?
Of course I will. It's what have you done for me right now? And I don't pretend to predict the future correctly, and I don't live in the past. So we'll see about Harrison Bailey. Maybe I'll return to that bandwagon. There's no rule that says I can't climb aboard again.
Well, if we fast forward a week and you know, Milton plays the first half or a little, maybe the first drive of the second half against Bowling Green. Then Harrison Bailey comes in. Let's say he's the number two and he's 10 of 12 passing for 150 yards and 2 touchdowns. Podcast next week is, shouldn't this guy be starting against Pitt? And that'd be a good time to buy back the Harrison Bailey stock. I'm going to go. I had said 8 earlier because that's what I was going to pick. So I'm going to have to go under the 8.5. I think he's a reasonable choice to start here, but you know, in the Big Ten, it was difficult, and I think just the wear and tear of injuries. I think whoever you pick to start is probably not going to go all 12 games, and probably not even close to 12. And Tennessee's going to have issues, and they're going to have to install this new offense. And so, I think somewhere around 8 to 9 games, if they can get him over 8.5, though, it's a successful year.
I'm glad I bumped it to 8.5. I didn't want you guys picking right on the nose there at 8 and sort of hedging your bet. So we got 2 unders. I'm going to take the over, And I'm going to step farther and say Joe Milton, wire to wire, is Tennessee's starting quarterback, which I guess means that he's going to play reasonably well if I think he's going to be the starter wire to wire, or it means that I don't believe Josh Heupel when he says he trusts all three of these guys and any one of them he has confidence in being the quarterback. I think maybe it's a combination of both. I think Heupel clearly brought in Milton for a reason, and I think part of that reason was he wasn't enamored with what he saw in the spring. I think Milton's his guy. I think he's been his guy. And I think maybe Joe Milton has the highest ceiling out of this bunch. I am curious to see more of Harrison Bailey. I hope just for curiosity's sake, we get to see some of him in the first few weeks here with more than just garbage time at the end of the game, because I think that would be interesting to see based on what he does, you know, on the heels of a solid spring game, on three starts last year where he showed some good things, accuracy, poise, not a huge arm, but I would be curious to see more. But no, I'm buying in on Joe Milton here and say he's going to be the wire-to-wire starter.
Do you think that this could be a boom or bust pick for Joe Milton? Here's a guy with potential and upside and got the big arm, a strong runner too, but there are these flaws that were evident last season, that he could be really good or not very good at all.
I would think if you look at it rationally, if Josh Heupel can't get him to succeed as a quarterback at a Power Five, then there's a pretty short list of guys that can do it. Because Heupel, I do believe, and he's got a track record of coaching really good quarterbacks. And if he takes this guy and it doesn't work out, I think if you're Joe Milton, you have to look in the mirror and say, where do I go from here? You know, and I guess all those guys can say that to some extent, but I think Milton, it would be more make or break because, you know, Hendon Hooker can say, I didn't get the right situation here. He can maybe try to transfer and play elsewhere with his limited eligibility left. Harrison Bailey, I think, has got to make the biggest decision because he's got plenty of eligibility left, and I think he can play somewhere if it's not here. But yeah, Milton has been around and a ton of potential. If Heupel can't get it, I don't know that anybody can.
Guys, I'm curious in closing to see what you'll say to this. Tennessee opens up Thursday night against Bowling Green. As we discussed last week on the podcast, we think this should be a comfortable victory for Tennessee in the opener. What would your prediction be for what we're going to walk away from Thursday talking about? It doesn't have to be quarterback related. We've been talking about quarterbacks up to this point. What do you think we're going to be walking away talking about after Thursday?
Boy, that offense looks so good. It's going to look good in every game because it looked good in this one. I think it'll be massive overreaction to what we see on offense. I think it's going to be massive overreaction to what we see in Milton and the backs and all those sort of things. The offense is what's going to be on display here, and it's probably going to work pretty well against a bad team, and good for them for in terms of momentum and confidence. But I think that's what we're probably going to try to project, if that meant anything, of what we just saw.
I think that puts me back on another bandwagon of running back Tyon Evans, the junior college transfer. I've said how great this guy's going to be based on watching a few video clips. So, yeah, I'll probably walk away from that game thinking, yeah, you were sure right about that JUCO transfer. Way to go.
I like that you're sticking with Tyon Evans. Even though you've wavered on Harrison Bailey, you're sticking with Tyon Evans. Adam, I'm going to piggyback off you. I think, you know, whether this will be my reaction or not, maybe not, but perhaps I'm modifying my own question. But I think the takeaway from Thursday is going to be, hey, this Heupel era might work out okay. Because I think Tennessee is going to thump Bowling Green, a really bad Bowling Green team. We know Heupel's offense can really pile up points against bad teams. We saw him do it at Missouri. We saw him do it at UCF. When they get matched up against an overwhelmed Group of Five opponent, he can really pad those stats. I think that's going to happen on Thursday, and I think there's going to be a thought walking away from it of Pitt. Now, Pitt's going to be no trouble. It's going to be more a question of how bad do they beat the Gators then a couple weeks later in the Swamp, and can this team go 9-3? I think it will be sort of overreaction Friday on the heels of a blowout victory on Thursday and sort of thinking, yeah, no trouble with Pitt. The bigger question's Florida.
Tyon Evans needs to watch out for that knife in his back. Harrison Bailey would advise him of that.
You're only as good as your last carry.
All right, guys, look forward to seeing you at Neyland Stadium on Thursday night, and we'll be back with you next week to recap how it went for Joe Milton and Josh Heupel's Vols. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Volunteer State.